Début du dialogue 2.
In September 2011, a group of young adults decided to take direct action. Occupy Wall Street soon won the sympathy and support of the majority of the American public. Julia Daniels participated in Occupy Wall Street in the very first days, and she's our guest today. Julia, how is it your movement became so popular?
It's simply that Occupy Wall Street was doing what tens of millions of people wished they could do. This action sent a shockwave throughout the United States.
But who exactly were the people who felt sympathy for the movement or gave it their support?
The people who had lost their jobs, their homes, their American dream. These are the people who warmed to this group that told Wall Street to its face, "We're not leaving until you give us our country back."
But wasn't there a weak point in the movement, its lack of organization?
No, this wasn't a weakness. It was on purpose that these young people didn't create a formal, hierarchical organization with rules and structure and charismatic leaders and spokespeople. This was one of the reasons why people from all over the country felt they were part of the movement by simply deciding to support it.
But I'm still surprised that the movement gained such rapid, widespread support.
In the old days, if you wanted to start a movement, first you had to educate the public about the problem you were trying to fix, and then you had to persuade them to join you. This wasn't necessary with Occupy Wall Street. Why? Simply because the majority of Americans didn't need convincing that greed rules Wall Street, or that the banks have no one's interest but their own at heart. Everybody gets it, even those who oppose it.
But to casual observers today, it seems as if the Occupy movement faded away this winter. Most of its encampments were swept aside, and Occupy is hardly present, physically speaking. There are no mass marches disrupting traffic, few rousing speeches, no late-night drum circle to annoy the neighbours.
You have that impression simply because the mainstream media have devoted less time and space to it. The media have been focusing on the Republican primaries. But make no mistake about it, in people's living rooms and in public meeting places, working groups of Occupy have been busy all winter.
What have they been doing?
Occupy Our Homes has resisted evictions of people who have been foreclosed. Citizens have been occupying the front doors of the repossessed homes and non-violently blocked banks from forcing families out into the street in dozens of cities across the country. Other groups have been hard at work on issues ranging from student debt to alternative banking to worker-owned cooperatives. Organizers have also been using the winter to incubate grander plans.
What sort of plans?
Proposals to occupy corporate shareholder meetings, the NATO summit in Chicago, and the Democratic and Republican conventions at the end of the summer.
According to you, then, Occupy will be back. In fact, it never really went away. But what will the next stage look like? Will Occupy retake public space and re-establish physical encampments and general assemblies as the heart of the movement?
There would be a risk in doing that. Obsessing about public space and protests risks turning the movement into one long street battle with the police.
Do they know where their path will lead?
Not necessarily, but that's the beauty of Occupy Wall Street. The mystery of what's ahead is the lure. Millions want in on that adventure because they know they have no choice. And they know that there's more of them than the men on Wall Street who currently occupy America.
How much attention will Occupy pay to the upcoming elections?
Occupy must persuade voters to elect people to office and then lobby them to pass good laws. The leading candidate for Congress from my hometown of Flint, Michigan, has already taken a pledge to make getting money out of politics his top goal in office. Others have joined him. We need to vote for them and then hold them to it.
Fin du dialogue 2.